Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy for the Persecuted Church is a fast-moving gospel news program, and all correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Wednesday, the 27th day of November, 2019, and the readings this week are Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through chapter 29, verse 9, Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 7, and the New Testament portion is Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 13. You can listen to all our shows on Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, and also on Deezer. And you can go to our website, warn-usa.com. And also danaglennsmith.com, and you can find the Spreaker app there. And you can find the posts and listen and download from those websites as well. Please take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman. They're inspired and they are pertinent for this day and age we're living in. The Cup of Sorrows, the Truth of Righteousness. Cup of Sorrows, the battle for truth and righteousness finds it in the time of sorrows, commonly called the last days or the last of the last days. It pits nations of men against the Lord and his anointed. It brings tools to this battle using governments, laws, action, and wickedness. Today, there are those who will stop at nothing to get their agenda fulfilled. Whether it be worldwide Islamic rule, globalist socialism, or nations of hedonism, many would destroy to get the thing they cherish. Also, Ecclesiastes Mirror, reflecting man's choices. Ecclesiastes Mirror casts a reflection regarding man's choices. Many today may find it content depressing. Some people may not even consider it at all, but the Ecclesiastes Mirror is full of wisdom. We walk through some verses found in Ecclesiastes. Remember from the book and the writer, along with the speaker, the full revelation of the coming Messiah has not yet been revealed. And now I invite the Watchman to join us.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Well, today we are here, and tomorrow is Thanksgiving for all those that follow it. But if a number of Democrats would have their way, they would change it to a day of mourning. Nevertheless,
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I am serious.
I thought there was something going on that I hadn't heard.
Well, no, that's been going on for a long time. Anytime we
get around Thanksgiving,
right. You know, we have some idiot in some university somewhere, liberal professor who wants to have a day of mourning.
That's ridiculous.
You know, they want us to apologize for the United States. They want us to pay reparations to all the black people, even the ones who weren't even slaves. We're going to give them money. And we slam all the white race. It's our fault. You know, we're the sinners. America's a sinner and everything. And believe me, America is a sinner, but it's not because of the white race. If you think the white race is the only sinners out there, you stand alongside the devil as being a fool, because that is not what this is about. We have a culture war. We have a division between light and darkness and good and evil. In this country, it is being played out every day. And you have two sides fighting it out on social media, fighting it out in the laws of this land, fighting it out in politics, fighting it out on the streets. The only thing we haven't come to blows is, as in the Civil War, with guns and bullets. But if somebody don't start treating somebody with respect, then this thing is going to be so bad, the people that start it are going to wish that they had never started it.
That's
because
right.
Because this thing, once you go down the road of the Civil War, in case you're such devoid of historical knowledge of the Civil War, it was brother against brother, countryman against countryman, and people on both sides got killed. And it was a devastating war, and it affected even the blacks who were supposed to be freed. It affected everybody, no matter what your race was, no matter where you came from. And it affected us for many, many decades thereafter. And even to this day, people all this time later still have, war games from the Civil War playing it out because it made such an impact. And, you know, so today up front, Tower and I are talking about Alveda King. But before I do that, to show you how ignorant people can be, we have Robert De Niro, who is a fine actor, who has been lambasting this President Trump for a long time with some of the most vilest stuff that you could say about a person. And Robert Redford came out with the same kind of spiel. Robert Davi, who is another actor but conservative, he's an Italian actor and he's also a Catholic, came out and came against them both for what they were saying. But today, Redford wrote an opinion piece. I'm not sure where it was published, Washington Post, New York Times, I'm not sure. But, NBCNews.com picked it up and was talking about it as well, because he says in it that, all of the American people are panicking and, those are my words, are so upset with Trump, And he gives the impression that Trump is up there alone, leading as a dictator. Nobody supports him. Apparently, Redford, in all of his media savvy, has never seen all of the meetings that Trump goes to every week. He just came out of Florida, and they had standing room only, which is usual. And we've seen quite a few of these particular things. And then, of course, the left came out and for their part said, Trump is a billionaire. He pays everybody to show up. And so we have so many lies out there. Lies.
Ludicrous.
I know. People are so stupid today and they're so wicked today. And this whole thing. And, you know, it's not surprising that Netanyahu faces the same thing in Israel. And matter of fact of it is, Dershowitz has an astounding article comparing both of them, saying they're exactly the same, the charges and everything. And he laid out the constitutional case that both of these things, one against Trump and the other against Netanyahu, even though they're not a republic like we are, you know, is baseless. And he further has been defending Trump, and Dershowitz is a Democrat, not a Republican. But what we see here is sin in action and pride. And I've said this many, many times. And Alveda, one of the things she questions is, we lost our way. And she calls the impeachment a lie and all this other stuff. She says we are living in a nation right now that is fanning the flames of that culture war. We are suffering through a bogus, unjust impeachment crusade against the sitting president of the United States. The 45th president of the United States has already accomplished much good for all Americans. In his current term, POTUS has championed for fewer abortions of innocent babies with opportunities to bolster the sanctity of life, a stronger job market, lower unemployment, women's rights, a reversal of a very deadly crime justice system. This criminal justice reform has given America a wonderful opportunity for citizens to return home to their families, especially nonviolent offenders who perhaps never should have received the strenuous penalties that landed them in jail in the first place. There is so much more. Now, Tower, you and I know very well, as do many people, that this division and divisiveness within it. It is so important right here, Tower, that people understand we're talking about the niece. Isn't she the niece of Martin Luther King?
Martin Luther King. I'm not sure. Niece or granddaughter?
Yeah, niece or granddaughter. Yeah, I'm not sure which one. But she's been a Trump supporter from the beginning. And, of course, she's black. And which makes what she says even more pertinent. If a white guy was to say it, all the leftists would say, well, he's just a white guy or he's a white supremacist. They can't call Alveda King a white supremacist. She is.
She's a niece. But, she's his niece.
Niece. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing of it is here is that she's dealing with issues from the standpoint of a minister, standpoint of a black minister in a country that's divided and dealing with her own people, many of whom in the inner cities have many problems. And there is no doubt that there has never been a president that's been able to bring unemployment and jobs to the Hispanics and the blacks like Trump has been able to do. And I know there's been a number of commentators talking about that, but the Democrats won't give him no quarter on it. And of course, this is where they're at. They will go down the road to impeach him. And Hollywood, I call it Hollywood because of their lies. They're not all Hollywood. There's some Heavenwood out there, too. That is Christians that are out there that with a Christian message and positive faith are trying to affect change in a gutter and a sewer, what we call Hollywood. And, this is the same kind of sewer that calls for gun control when some of their biggest movie stars like Schwarzenegger and Stallone and others made them shooting and killing and acting the tough guy. You know, so yeah. We live in a nation where right now the ACLJ is fighting to stop Planned Parenthood and others and a lot of the laws on the books from aborting babies. And now there's another law the ACLJ is trying to fight and the lower court leaning left had sided with the Planned Parenthood or whoever it was that they were up against. At any rate, the email that I got from them said that this thing can't go through because if it does, it's going to be absolutely the epitome that any time after birth, you can just kill a baby anytime you want to.
Dear God, that's horrible.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact, yesterday or the day before, I was telling you about another law that would enable them just to kill people, that like if you have a baby and you think he was going to have some kind of those pre-birth diseases that are devastating, you know, that you could kill them.
Yeah, like Down syndrome or...
Like Down syndrome. I mean, give me a break. You know, what kind of stupidity is this, you know? Open up mouth, insert foot, take your brain out. This is what we're doing in this country. We're stupid, you know. And, of course, there's a big shindig over Chick-fil-A, and Aveda was kind of talking about that as well. But the thing that, we're really focusing in on here is this culture war. And the culture war is really a war between Christianity and paganism. It's a war between the true and the living God and the God of Babylon and many, many gods. And so we are in this thing where you have this divisiveness, you have this separation. It's the same separation we even see in China, because China is persecuting Christians because, you know, they feel threatened by them. They're also persecuting Uyghur Muslims because they feel threatened by them. And so this is the thing we see. We see this same kind
thing.
Go ahead.
The Chinese government is also tearing down the churches that were sanctioned by the government. They're destroying those as well.
They are. And, you know, so we do see these kind of things going on where you have this culture war with Christianity in the middle. Pakistan is the same thing with radical Muslims. And, of course, another one is Hindus and the BJP party, which is a political party tied to radical Hindus who have been persecuting Christians in India. India is up there on the persecuted Christians list. We also see this in Cameroon. We see this in Nigeria, where Buhari, who is a Fulani and a Muslim, won out against a Christian, Jonathan Goodluck Johnson, some time ago. And, of course, we have been reporting more deaths since Buhari took in, especially at the hands of the Fulani. And he's a Fulani, but he won't rule, rein him in. We see this culture war around the world in just about every nation we report on. And there is this divisiveness and there is this separation. And this tells us that we are in the end of days, that we are in this turmoil of nations, that what Christ warned us about, and we find it in many, many places. And many of you have probably heard of it and talked about it. Well, you're here now. And so in America, both sides are fighting this. And there's going to be one winner. There's not going to be two. If we can't come together, if we can't heal this breach, if we can't disagree with someone and disagree agreeably, leave as Americans who have the right to speak, not trying to kill them or destroy them. We need to get rid of, for instance, Antifa, which is a terrorist group of punks. We have to stop these things. We need to stop what we're doing in this country, and we just feed the fodder mill of lies, and you directly responsible for the lies is NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, as well as a number of mainline, you know, celebrities who pour filth out of Hollywood and lie about it. And we see this all around. And the truth is also out there, but many people don't want to listen. The truth is that the economy is doing the best it's ever done. The truth is that there are many, many blacks who are following, and Hispanics and whites and others. It's not about race. It's not about anything other than they follow, they believe in this. And of course, they wanted to say that, oh, you're just a bunch of cultists. You know, that's a bunch of baloney. Talk about stupid. These people will say anything. And Alveda is trying to bring it down, and she's bringing it down to the one thing. Is this really the way we want to go? Have we lost our way? What is she talking about? The same thing that Martin Luther King did. He wouldn't have put up with this kind of thing. And he talked about dreams. He talked about being united. He believed in that. And he himself was a minister. There is a Christian birth here. There is a belief. There's a faith in this country, but there's also a damnable Satan, and there's lies of Satan, and there is demonic entities. And even Franklin Graham got into it by saying these things, and the left went nuts again, couldn't believe that he said it. Well, that's life, because that's what it's about. You
yes,
don't think that America...
warfare.
Yes, it is. And if you're not for Christ, you're against him. And if you don't want to receive him, you're against him. So you're either going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve the devil. That's it.
That's right.
And
well,
this
you know,
is where it's at.
I was just thinking, looking at this, Alveda King was talking about President Trump, you know, that he keeps his promises. And you and I have talked about that a lot, how he's kept his promises. And he does everything in his power to keep his promises, to make this America better. And he's the first politician in my lifetime that I know of that has done this. I don't know of any other one that's kept his promises.
Well, you know, she does make that point. She pointedly said that he keeps his promises.
And other things she didn't mention is that he supports Israel. And that's a good thing. We need to support Israel.
We do. And we need to support Netanyahu, but he's in the same thing. He told him those charges were phony. And that's all there is to it. You know, and this is what we have in America, too, phony charges. You may have people up there in the House that are doing the impeachment. But the problem you have here, I'm hearing a backfeed. And so at any rate, when we have this, this blatant thing that we have, it's just a mess, you know, and
oh, it's horrible.
It is. Now we're going to move on here, but when we discuss these kind of things, you know, the inroads you're making, we have a lot of people talking, a lot of people writing, a lot of people claiming this and that, but no one's trying to come together. No one
nope.
wants to heal the breach. Everyone
That's
wants
bad.
To make their point. Everyone wants to do whatever they're doing and whatever their point is. And that's why, you know, the selfie is so important today, because we take selfies. When we get on Twitter, we put out things about ourselves or things we like. On Facebook, I've seen Facebook pages that all they do is feature pictures of the person that put the page up, nothing else. I mean, talk about self-centered. And that's what one of the things of the end days we're going to be finding out that Paul warned about. They're selfish. They're self-centered. They're despisers
of
those. Yeah, lovers of self, despisers of those who are good. And that's just a few things. And that describes our society to the T, as well as other societies.
Sure does.
But another thing of the end days is the cashless and the cashierless. And I was interested. I remember when Amazon came out with their cashless and cashierless stores. And, you know, we love our tech. And I seen a video on how this works. These people, of course, have the app on their phone and they just go in through the store and they scan it. And as they go through the store, whatever they pick up, it's automatically recorded. And if you put it back out of the basket, it'll be automatically deducted. And you just walk out the door. Totally cashless, totally cashierless. And they're planning for bigger supermarkets that are cashierless. They're planning on bigger markets that are cashless. Now, one of the things about society is, one of the things in the last days is a cashless society. Now, we've been cashless for a long time. Many people thought we would have one world currency. We have had one world currency, and it's getting more stabilized all the time. Back when, you know, let's say 30 years ago, or even when Tower and I first got married, which was longer than that, we always believed it was a one world currency. And many people would look at the dollar that it was pretty well accepted. And so there's the yuan, there's various, there's the franc. And so everybody wondered which currency would it be. Well, I'll tell you what the currency is. The currency is digital.
Yeah.
It's digital.
It was the European Union at one time.
Yes, it was.
Their currency was.
Yes, I remember when that came out too. But that's not it. It is digital because digital recognizes all currency, all your banks, all your banks. Anybody that handles any kind of money transaction is online, and it's all digital. Digital is the one thing that the devil is going to in Revelation 13, 11 through 8. You know, he is going to. He will cause all, verse 16, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in his right hand or in their foreheads. They already have marks that you can, already has technology. They already have tattoos. They already have a way for you to be connected to your smartphone and your computer by inserting things into your head, which is a chip. They already do that. They're working on that technology right now. We have Amazon where you can walk in and all you need is your smartphone. You're just one step away from having your cell phone and everything right on your hand. You go in and everything is done right there. Now, see, this is what the beast is going to do. He's going to use digital. He's going to use this to a way that you have never seen. And you haven't even begun to see what this guy has talked about. I've been warning this for years and years and years and years. I've written on it, and I have said that there is another level of technology coming, one we haven't even discovered yet, that's going to come with this beast when he arrives. And it's not going to be just about this particular part of the buying and the selling, but it will be the power to worship the image of the beast and to have this interaction personally through this technology. This is what's coming. You can also read about some of this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because that is the mystery of iniquity, which talks about lawlessness. We're already there in this mystery of iniquity. It's already been put away. And right now, we are right in the middle of it, and we haven't come to the part when he has been revealed. But one of these days, he will be revealed, and you are very, very close. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about months or years. In the eyes of the Lord, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. what I'm talking about. It could be one generation away or two generations. It could be a half a generation away. We thought when we first started this back in the mid-70s, we thought and we expected every day that the Lord was going to come, didn't we, Tower? We were always, every week. And see, look at how long. How long has that been? You know, Tower and I have been married a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
A long, long time. And I can tell you, as long as we've been married, we've expected the coming of the Lord. So don't try to tell me he's coming tomorrow. He ain't coming tomorrow. There's things that must be fulfilled. But what I am telling you, America, that you keep going in your divisiveness, you could be bringing on things concerning this country that people are definitely not going to like, the likes of which they've never seen before. And this particular country, as great as it was, will never be that again. There will never be another one. Whether people try to make it a Muslim nation or a globalist nation, it will never be the nation it was when it had the founding foundation of Christianity and the Christian faith. It was really the Judeo-Christian faith, because we had Jews that came here in the beginning and were safe. We had Jewish people who would come and help with money and all kinds of things to help get this nation going. So you are warned here. America, you have been warned for many, many years. Your sins are on your head, on your own head. You're carrying it down your own road. Your divisiveness, your hatred, your pride, and you in the house. You called this a house. It's supposed to be a house of justice. It is sin and iniquity. Woe unto the wicked who dwell in the house. Woe unto the wicked who pervert justice. Woe unto the judges who pervert the justice. We can find the same thing when we look in the days of Israel. We can find the same thing when we look in the Tanakh. The scales are weighted. The scales of justice are unjust.
That's right.
Now, another one we want to talk about in prophecy is the lack of natural affection, 2 Timothy 3:3. You know, Tower, this is something I wanted you to read.
Oh, this it's horrible.
Yeah. You know, a Colorado woman, she tossed her newborn daughter over the fence. This is an example.
Yeah.
But I found it telling when in this, we find this lack of natural affection.
It just astounds me. This Colorado woman, I don't think she was very old, 25 maybe. She tossed her baby over the fence, and the baby girl landed on the neighbor's back porch and was later discovered by the neighbor's dog. This tiny girl was smothered by her mother, flung over the neighbor's fence, and left to die by the only human she had ever known. Chief Deputy District Attorney Christopher Gallo lamented in court this week, and he said this defendant hurled her newborn 11 feet over an 8-foot fence, knowingly consigning her to her death. The little girl died in cold weather without the dignity of even a name. And this woman, is 25, claims she didn't know she was pregnant in January 2018 until she woke up with painful cramps and the baby just came out. Prosecutors state that she then covered the baby's mouth so her landlord wouldn't hear the baby crying and carried the child into the backyard, where after 10 minutes of deliberation, she threw the newborn over a 9-foot fence into the neighbor's yard. Police testified that blood smears indicated that the baby apparently bounced off the railing on the neighbor's deck and the back of the chair before landing on the deck. I just got rid of it, she said. She had allegedly told the detectives. The neighbor lady said she went out to her deck that day to use the hot tub and saw the dog sniffing what looked like a baby. She immediately brought the dead child inside. The umbilical cord was still attached and called 911. Well, the police searched the area and found a bloodied shower curtain in a garbage can outside the home where this woman lived. And when the detective spoke with her, she acted as if at first she didn't know why he was there. And he asked her if her DNA would match the baby's. And she allegedly replied, well, the thing is, I don't want to get in trouble. So she admitted the truth, explaining what she had done. And this is what District Attorney George Botchler had to say. Of all the many emotions of the magical first moments of a baby's life, of all the many tender moments a mother shared in the first embrace with a completely helpless and fragile life, smothering a newborn and pitching its body over a fence in the cold of January is impossible to understand. Yeah, who are we as a people that someone among us has such disregard for the most innocent of lives, a life they helped create? It's disgusting. Yes, it is. And she has been sentenced to life in prison, hopefully without parole.
Well, you know, Tower, we see a lot of...
She was found guilty of first-degree murder. And, yeah.
We see a lot of this loss of natural affection.
In all the abortions.
Well, we do, and especially when they want to do it.
That's just one way.
After, yeah, that's just one way. Now, Romans 1:31 speaks of without natural affection. As does 2 Timothy. But when we talk about without natural affection, that's one word in the Greek. It's used in both 2 Timothy and Romans 1. And to cherish affectionately, in other words, they don't have anything to cherish affectionately. There's no natural affection, totally without. It's interesting to note that when I was putting this together, I found something on a Philadelphia doctor back in 1854 who in his introductory lecture on
obstetrics.
Yeah, there you go. Can't even say that for some reason. He said Hugh Linnick Lodge lamented that even the mothers of his day were lacking of natural affection. He went on to say they seem not to realize that the being within them is indeed animate, that is in verity a human being, body and spirit, that it is of importance, that its value is inestimable, having reference to this world and the next. They act with as much indifference as if the living, intelligent, immortal existence lodged within their organs were of no more value than the bread eaten or the common excretions of the system.
Isn't that amazing? Back in 1854 that he saw that.
What is it like today? I mean, he's describing today.
165 years ago.
Dear God in
heaven. Yeah, he is.
You know, and folks, if you're, let's say, normal, if you can think of normal, if you look at stories like this and you're horrified, if you can't understand why people want to have the right to abort babies after they're born, then understand there's something in the human genome, it's called sin, that has a hardened conscience and it has been seared to the truth. And today we have people through pride and sin have seared consciences, and they have no problem with that piece of meat that they birth out, and they have no problem with that piece of meat getting murdered. And to them, that's all it is the piece of meat.
Yeah, a waste.
And I'm telling you, and I'll tell you, and I've talked about this a lot, blood guilt. You will pay for the blood guilt. And, you know, today, this is a Christian advocacy program, you know, where we talk about the persecuted church. And we have talked about it, but there's blood guilt when you're killing all the Christians. You're also blood guilt when you kill anybody that doesn't deserve it like that. I mean, there is blood guilt. I've talked about it. I've taught about it. You know, there's one good news. CBN put out a little article on a VA school that went all out to celebrate America's Christian heritage.
Really?
And they know, yeah. And they said that as many schools move away from retelling the traditional Thanksgiving story, there's a little school by the name of Stonebridge School who has a Christian Heritage Day in Chesapeake, Virginia. And they celebrate every year, and they have everybody dress up as pilgrims and Indians and everything. And it gives the students an opportunity to go back in time and model experience what they've learned about the early European exploration and settlement of the North American continent.
Well,
and
that would
she
be
talks.
Fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. And it's important, they said, because we want our students to understand the biblical foundation of our country. Now, see, that was a second grade. The other one I quoted was a fifth grade teacher, second grade teacher and a fifth grade teacher. And they've both been at this school for a long time, and they stand up for this. And this, folks, is what America was founded on. There is a liberal policy in a lot of colleges and a lot of schools and in our government institutions that push other narratives, that push other lies. And if you're not careful, you're going to lose the very thing that we have because you don't recognize it. And one of the ways you lose it is through sin and pride.
Amen.
Now, another thing we want to talk about real quickly, and then Tower has a thing she's going to read out of Kenya. But in southeastern Turkey, there is a Korean ministry worker, Jinwook Kim, who was stabbed to death. Now, I didn't know this, Tower, that there is quite
either.
A number of Korean evangelists. These are South Korean, they're not North Korean, South Korean, who go into Turkey to work. And he was pastoring a small congregation of Christians. And he was out, and he ended up being attacked, and he was stabbed three times, twice in the heart and once in the back, and he died. And, of course, the authorities insist that it's a mugging. But
I don't believe that.
No, I don't
targeted.
Either. Now, of course, is it kind of funny that the Turkish government has been deporting Protestant leaders? We know because we covered one who actually wound up in prison for a while, Pastor Brunson.
Yeah.
And then there was another American evangelist that got separated from his family when he was kept in Turkey, or he was forced to leave Turkey, and they were in Turkey. So we see this with Turkey. Turkey is not a friend. They're a NATO member, but they're not a friend of NATO. And this mess in Syria is causing a lot of Christians to be displaced and facing cold winter weather. But we know that Samaritan's Purse is over there. We know that others are over there that are on the ground. But the bottom line of it is, this is dangerous over there. And Turkey is no friend. And it's, you know, here's the guy that comes from South Korea. And he's filling a place where American pastors can't do. This guy goes over and he gets murdered. He's martyred.
That's horrible.
It is.
I just hate to see that. And we're seeing and hearing more and more of it every day, every day, every day.
We are. And so Towers got something on from Kenya.
This comes to us from International Christian Concern. It's about Fana. I'm not sure how to say her last name. But her husband was executed by a Somali-based terror group back in September of 2018. The terrorists flagged down a passenger bus that Frederick was riding in as he was returning home to his wife and child. And the terror group separated the Christians. And they commanded them to deny Christ and recite the Islamic creed, the Shahada. And along with other passengers, Frederick refused to denounce Jesus Christ, and the assailants shot him. And after this happened, International Christian Concern stepped in, and they provided her with goats and other assistance to help her, to care for her and her three-year-old son. And she said, Fanu, Pana, I believe is how you say that. She's 25, is very thankful for a supportive community around her. I have received immense support from the church and my family members. Frederick's family has been a pillar to my life and the welfare of my son. We have been cared for and loved, although there is nothing that can fill the gap my husband left in our hearts. We thank God for the gift of a wonderful family and a church that has been praying for us. And she continues to testify about overcoming grief and keeping the faith amid loss and despair. She said that life hasn't been without challenges, and she sometimes gets depressed and locks herself inside the house and cries for hours. She says the days are long and the nights are lonely. And she, not a single day goes by without her thinking of him. And she said, I remember him as a great man of faith who served God through music and youth ministry. He died while defending the Christian faith, and I hope that he will rise again in glory on that last day. And she has since become a source of inspiration to other widows in the community, urging them to seek refuge in God alone. She's been witnessing to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she is stopping at nothing to see more souls come to the kingdom. She says, the same spirit my husband portrayed is the same spirit I have been living by since his courageous death. I will continue to stand for Christ regardless of the many challenges that can easily keep someone's eyes away from the faith. He died in the hands of the merciless killers who never cared whether he had a family. The only way I can prove to the world that there is a living hope in Christ is by lighting my candle and letting it shine as a testimony of God's grace. And she ended her eulogy, ended by saying a eulogy to her fallen husband. I always pray that our son will come to know Christ and become a bold witness just like his father was, and that many shall come to salvation through his life and ministry. For the rest of our days on earth, we shall always live with the memories Frederick left us. May his soul continue resting in peace.
Amen.
And this, yes, and this Al-Shabaab, they've taken lives of many faithful believers throughout the past decade, but will never be able to take their faith. So we need to remember to pray for her and all the other women and who are facing life without their husbands and all the other Christians.
You know, Tower, we talk a lot about, you know, martyrs and people getting put in prison or put in jail or murdered. But the thing of it is, folks, is Pastor Brunson summed it up about being put in prison when he was in Turkey. He was facing the rest of his life in prison. And it took him a year to really come to grips with where he was at, because he'd been working for 20 years as a minister there in Turkey with no problems. He said, I always hear people say, would you do it again? And people say, would you do it again? And he said, no, I wouldn't do it again. He said, not at the time. I didn't think I could get through it. I prayed every day to try to get through it. See, and he denoted the struggle in faith to get through these things. And when we talk about being martyred, when we talk about prison, folks, these people are real. It hurts. When you get martyred, you're dead. You're with the Lord in glory, but you have loved ones home. You have family. It takes faith. It takes forgiveness. It takes guts to keep going. And, you know.
Amen. It does.
My heart goes out to that woman.
Oh, I know.
May God bless her. And see, the thing of it is, we have covered all kinds of tragedies with this. But you see, we're victorious. It's our faith that overcomes the world, because we believe in Christ. It's our faith. And things get tough in America. Toughen up, folks. Things get tough in America. Toughen up in Christ. Put that out there where you need to be. No matter what happens to this country, we're still Christ. No matter how many people lie, no matter how many people thieve, no matter what happens in America or around the world, no matter who you are, no matter what situation, Christ is on the throne and he will make a way. If you die in faith, you will live in faith. If you live in faith and you have someone that died, you're going to live and succeed and overcome by keeping that faith. Our victory is that faith. Every day, Pastor Brunson had to slug just to get by. He had to remind himself. He had to pray. He had to speak. He had to say it. He had to read it. He had to believe it. And this woman, she would cry herself to sleep. It's a struggle. And sometimes in this country called America, we put all kinds of stuff on top of this. You know, we look at the big churches. We look at all these people who are so rich and have faith. You know, we got millionaire preachers, millionaire evangelists. We have huge churches. Your churches are wonderful. The insides are great. You have a way to make a living. You have a house. You have a car. You have a retirement. You have everything. And yet you say you have faith. You tell me you have faith. I'll show you a woman like we just did who doesn't have 1/1000th of what you have, but she has faith. Dear God, she has faith. She has belief. She has hope. And her hope is not built on carnal things. Her faith is built on the solid rock. And I question in America today, when we say we have faith, what will you have when they take away your fancy church? What will you have when they take away your house? What will you have when they beat you up for your faith? What will you have when they murder you for your faith? In America, I challenge you today, what will you have? You have seen blessing. You have seen extraordinary wealth. You have seen everything most countries don't ever have. And yet in the end, it's about faith. It's not about how great America is. It's about your faith and who you believe and how you stick with it. That is Christian advocacy, my friends. That is the overcoming church. Whether you're in America, whether you're in Russia, whether you're in North Korea, whether you're in Pakistan, whether no matter where you're at.
Amen.
And so my heart is challenged by this woman.
Yes,
and
amen.
This Korean evangelist. There was another young kid, and I remember him years ago, and they did a movie on him not too long ago, and he made the news again. He's dead, but he made the news. He's with the Lord. He felt called to go to this tribe, and the tribe was on an island outside of Africa, you know, a little island off of Africa, the coast. And I think it was down around the Horn and up a little bit. I think that's where it was. I'm not sure where it was. But at any rate, he went to that tribe and he got martyred. Never was able to get very far.
Huh.
And you remember that movie Beyond the Spear?
Into the Sword or what? Yeah, I remember that. That was back in the 50s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That
well,
yeah.
Amazon has that now. I think they're the ones that have it.
Well, there was like, what was it, four or five pastors?
There was.
Down there together?
Into the Spear. Into the Spear. And it is into the Amazon jungle, this one, based on a true account. We saw the movie, but it's Into the Spear. It's on Amazon Prime. And so we're glad to see it on Amazon Prime. So at any rate, we are...
We're going to have to get out of here.
Yeah, we are.
Well, I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. May you be blessed and enjoy your family and your friends. And we love you. We pray for you. And be safe. God richly bless you. And we'll see you next week. We'll be back next Wednesday.
Yes, folks.
We're not going to do...
Well, we got a couple of minutes, so we got a little time. Don't forget to go by warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Join us on usa.life and MeWe, M-E-W-E. You can follow us on all of our shows and everything. If you're on any one of our social sites and stuff, we... send the information out over those. So be thankful. Look to the Lord. Have a good time with your family.
Yes.
And so be blessed. We'll see you next week. Shalom, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.